Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hey everybody.
Hello.
My name is David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched something. Men in Black.
MIB International. MIB.
It took me 20 years to find you. How many people can say that? You are the best kept secret in the universe. And I found you. Which makes me perfect for this job.
You really think a black suit is going to solve all your problems?
No, but looks damn good on you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You just watched this, right?
I did, yeah.
I watched it a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh in your head.
So it's fresh in my head.
How'd you like this movie?
It was fine.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to say I hated it because I would have to, like, consider it in order to hate it. I almost fell asleep during it.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was so boring. The audience I was in, too, didn't seem to care at all.
We saw, like, a 4 o'clock showing and the theater was empty.
Yeah. I looked up the audience score because I was curious because it got terrible reviews. The audience gave it like a 60, almost a 70%. And it's like, really? Like on the level of Men in Black 2? I mean, Men in Black 2 isn't a good movie. A lot of these aren't good movies.
Men in Black 2 is trash.
Yeah. But this movie, like I had to like splash cold water on my face. I had to make an effort to stay awake while watching this. Because it was so bland.
It is very much a movie that you forget about immediately after you see it.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember it because there was no charisma. That was the weirdest part because we got Thor and Valkyrie and it's like these two fucking rock. But they're apparently only as good as the writers that write them.
No, I disagree.
Really?
They're just not given a whole lot to do.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like they're charismatic people, but they weren't given like really roles that I don't know. It just didn't feel I didn't feel anything between them.
Mm-hmm.
Any charisma or like I don't know. It didn't feel like
I don't know.
Feel like they were just getting through the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. I think that's the glue that holds the film together for what that's worth is
it's definitely the best part of the movie.
Yeah, it's absolutely them.
Yeah.
It's not quite on the level of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
No. That was perfect.
But I think because that was they had good chemistry and also there was good writing. I think we only have about half of that in this movie.
And there was a good contrast between the characters there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Will Smith can do good comedy. Like, he can think on his feet. Like, he does improv and, you know, like, he'll ad-lib lines and shit. I don't know. I don't know if these two.
There's some improv. You can tell there's some ad-libbing in this.
It's a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just so, I was so fucking bored.
Well, it's 90 minutes. It's a pretty breezy 90 minutes.
Yes, that was one of the best parts about it. Because it didn't ask for too much of my time.
No, like I don't, this is a strange, movie to talk about because, I thought it was perfectly fine, but like I said, it's
not
a movie
bad.
It's a movie that I'm probably not going to watch again, and I'll probably never think about again.
Exactly, and that's the thing.
But
it made sense. It wasn't not well. Okay, there's a couple parts that I actually
there was one big thing that was just fucking eating at me the entire movie. And then in the very end, they explain it. It's when M, Tessa Thompson, gets recruited. She gets recruited in New York, and then Emma Thompson is like, okay, there's trouble in London. I'm sending you there. And then she goes to London, and nobody has an assignment for her. She just sort of inserts herself.
Yeah, that was actually
with Chris Hemsworth, and that winds up being the overarching thing. So for the entire movie, I was sitting there thinking, what was the fucking trouble in London she was sending her to go check out? And then at the end, yeah, she shows up, and it's like, oh, I suspected Liam Neeson was crooked. Right.
Here's the thing, though, about that, is that I do think that's still a problem. Because that was one of the things, is like halfway through the movie, I was like, have they been given like an assignment? Like, they, like, what is like, yes, at stake? It was kind of, something about it felt more like they just sort of fell into the adventure.
They did. Yeah.
And there's some little weird things. I have two big criticisms. Mm-hmm. One is a nitpicky but valid one, and the other is like an overall, this is what they missed about the other Men in Black. The biggest what they missed is the villain was boring.
The villain's kind of not there. Like, it's a red herring. You think it's two supercharged twins who are pretty scary.
Yes,
but then it turns out that they're not actually the villains.
But, like, look at who they got to play the villains in the other movies. Like, mm-hmm, they try to make them interesting. Even if they're the red herring, they were boring. Like, they were creepy looking, for sure. But, like, yeah, I missed having that. I missed having, like, alien interactions with the world, where it's like, they have, like, one person that's, like, a secret alien. But they don't do much of the secret alien. The biggest alien we see is, like, openly living in a palace, which I thought was interesting, because it was like, oh, are aliens slowly like gaining more power in this world or something? But it's like, I don't know. I like the weird fun lore of Men in Black that was in the other movies. The other thing, and this is nitpicky, but like, they were not discreet.
No, not at all.
The ending,
but I mean, they never are.
No, but here's the thing, is like, they are and they aren't. Because in the other ones, they'll have these big events, but they literally have the Statue of Liberty do the flashy thing and wipe out everybody's goddamn memories. And that's in the second one, which is not a good movie. But it's like, okay, they tried. Movie. This one ends with them getting in a car and just like turning into a rocket ship and flying off in the middle, like next to the Eiffel Tower. And it's what the fuck?
I mean, they fly around in a tunnel in a rocket car in the first one,
but
and they don't flash
people.
They do not flashy a single person in that first tunnel scene.
Don't they flash? Oh, no, they don't.
No.
In the second one, they flashy
people.
He
puts on an Elvis tape and then throws change in the toll booth. That's it.
Right. The second one, they flashy people while they're flying.
Yeah.
Like, they at least try in other ones. Like,
I guess. I mean,
the first one, they draw attention to it.
Saucer crashing into a park, and they don't flashy a goddamn person.
But they try. Like, that's part of the point, is, like, be discreet. You got to flashy people. Like, in this one, they get on that bike, and they flashy, like, the first group of people, and then they go into a bike chase, and it was like, well, why do you even care, then? Like, if you're flashing people at the beginning of that, like, what does it matter if you're just also chasing through? Like I said, this is a nitpick. The other weird nitpick I had was the subway train. Why did it look like a subway?
I don't know, because aliens just blatantly, flagrant aliens get on and off of that thing.
Yeah. It doesn't look like a subway. It only looks like a subway for us. That, for people who haven't seen the movie, she gets on like a normal looking subway going to London, and it's like at the MIB offices, and she gets on, there's just other aliens on there, and then it does this like, oh, look out, and it transforms into like a future train, and then it just sort of stays that way for the rest of the movie, because it's not like they're going in public ever on that thing. It was a really weird decision. I think it was like, and I guess this is what I mean, is like, again, the other Men in Blacks are not great, but like, I felt like that this one was less consistent and didn't quite understand the world it was in as much.
Maybe.
Which I could say that about the third one too, because the third one's batshit.
Yeah, you could say that about pretty much all of them, honestly.
Yeah, but
like they care in the first Men in Black until they don't care, and that's kind of the same in every other movie. Like I don't think they flashy thing anyone after Will Smith shoots the noisy cricket in the middle of the street. Like they flashy people kind of when they remember to.
Yes, and like it's inconsistent whether or not they have to give them replacement memories. Sometimes they just flash people and keep walking. But I guess I was more distracted by it watching this because I was bored.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to find something.
It's also, in fairness, it's been 7 years since mm-hmm. Men in Black 3. And we've had so many huge, just, $100 million blockbusters between now and then. So maybe it's just we're sort of, I guess, numb to it, focus on that stuff.
That's the thing. It's like, what is the point of this movie, I guess?
What's the point of any movie?
I mean, what's the point of this movie? Bringing back, rebooting Men in Black, like you said, 7 years later, with really nothing. Like, I think the problem is, I have this same issue with the Terminators, is they bring them back, but it's like, why are you doing this? And I don't think the film knows, and I don't think this film really knew why it existed.
Well, this is a bit of a different situation than Terminator. Men in Black, by its very design, can be episodic.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Terminator doesn't lend itself to an episodic series.
But it's the same. I just mean it's the same, like, it felt like they were like, hey, we haven't done a Men in Black in a while. Let's do a Men in Black. And, like,
Probably.
Yeah, it didn't, like, I don't know. It didn't feel like it restarted the franchise or breathed new life into it. It just felt like this is going to be that awkward fourth movie that then nobody saw or no one thinks about.
Yeah, this is going to be their On Stranger Tides.
Yeah, exactly. Where they're like, we're rebooting it, and everybody's just like, I don't know why you're doing this. and again, yeah, you're right. Like, they were perfectly fine, although I still didn't find them I didn't laugh at all. I didn't find any moment, like, funny in this movie.
I laughed a few times.
Yeah. There were some cute moments. I didn't think there was anything that crazy. Like, again, the villains are usually kind of over the top, and there wasn't really, like, silly characters. I love Camille Nanjiani because he's great in everything.
Yeah.
I was just bored. I was just so bored, Tom.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know what to to talk about with this film beyond that it's weird that, like, when Tessa Thompson shows up in London, like, Chris Hemsworth, who plays H, has this reputation for, like, oh, he saved the world once. And there's kind of a neat thing there where anytime it seems a little jarring but cutesy at first, but anytime somebody asks him what happened, he says, we faced down the hive with nothing but our wits and our serious set of atomizers. And he keeps repeating that verbatim, which turns into a nice reveal that he's been neuralized and that was the memory that was placed in his head. So he's just repeating it.
Yeah.
This reputation for being this incredible agent. But he's just kind of this fuck up.
Like, yeah. I didn't get that at all.
He's
a weird character because I didn't understand him. Like, where he was. Yeah. I didn't understand what he wanted or, like, why he was a weird fuck up. Like, I thought at first the idea was I liked her character because she's like, wants this really bad.
Right. And
I like
the idea of someone, clearest character. Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the idea of them assigning her to, like, a fuck up. And so she's like the by the book rookie. And he's the guy who's like, doesn't care. Like,
yeah,
that is a fun dynamic because it's kind of like Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. But yeah, he didn't make much sense to me.
He was real all over the place.
He's just fucking aliens and stuff.
He is.
Yeah, he's fucking aliens.
So many aliens.
Oh, yeah.
At least two.
Yeah.
That we know of.
There were little moments that were like, and maybe this was because I was having trouble staying awake. Like, where they're in the club and he, like, tries to get her to hang out with that alien guy.
Yeah.
And then she takes him aside and she's like really offended that he's trying to, he's like, are you pimping me off to this guy? And like, yeah. That felt weird and extreme. Like it felt like this kind of roller coaster of why would she have to take him aside for that? Like, I feel like she'd just have to give him like a shitty glance, like in knowing what was happening and like, oh, he's right, trying like to, like, it was weird. It was a weird moment to like have to stop everything and talk about it. And it's like,
It's like, do you really not understand what the score is here? Like,
yeah,
he likes you. So, you know, dance with him. So he'll be, you know, he'll be pacified.
And it doesn't mean she has to like that. It just means I didn't need like the movie to stop. And for them to have to talk about it was like little things like that.
It was already clear that she was like, god damn it, fine, you know, like we didn't need the, you know, that 4 or 5 lines of dialogue about it.
Yeah.
Like, but no, you know how this works.
Do you think they cut stuff out? Because I did feel like stuff was missing. Again, when the beginning happened, I did feel like there was never a moment. And again, I was nodding off, so I could have missed it. It didn't feel like there was a moment where someone was like, so this is what happened, and we need you guys to go investigate it. Now go.
No, what happens is, what feels the most disjointed is like the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we get 2 flashbacks.
Right.
Which was weird.
Yes.
We get a flashback 2 years ago to 2016.
And then 20 years earlier.
And then we get a flashback to 20 years earlier. And it's like, maybe it should have started with... I get it. Because like watching it, I was like, oh, you should have started with the flashback to Tessa Thompson as a kid and then flashing forward to her as an adult because she's the main character. She's our in. But they still needed to get that 2 years earlier scene at the Eiffel Tower when H and Liam Neeson fight these aliens called the Hive, because it sets up the conflict of the movie.
But you know what? I think they fucked up because I think you're right that that's what they thought, but I would have been fine if they didn't show the Hive, because I was immediately suspicious of that battle because I was like, did it cut off? Like, what happened? Like, the scene ended suddenly. And I was like, what happened? And then when he was kept repeating the thing, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
I see. And then when they were like, there's a mole, it was like, okay, well, it can either be Liam Neeson or I don't know who else, where it's like...
Well, they're trying to make you think it's Rafe Spall.
I know, but it was that thing where it's like, it's either one of those two people.
Yeah.
And it's like, what would be the more surprising... I mean, that's whatever. I mean,
I knew immediately. I was like, oh, here's what happened.
Yeah. But like, I think they could have just, because it felt like they couldn't decide if she was the main character or something. They should have just kept it on her and stayed on her. And then he's like the big hero guy. And the idea is everybody loves him, but he seems like a fuck up. And you could even make him like kind of shittier, and the idea is she can't figure out like why he's getting all the cool assignments and why he's getting everything and why she's like a shitty rookie when he's not responsible, but he's like this hero. And the mystery could be like, how did he fucking get to here? And the realization is like, oh, they wiped his memory, he was used, you know.
Yeah.
And like called a hero. I think that would have been a better,
I think they could have explained that more.
Yeah.
Because you saying that just now makes his character make sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Like, and I don't.
He was really good. And then they erased his memory. And so now he's just like this fuck up.
Yeah. And I think that would have been like, they didn't need him as a main, like he could have almost been like the comic, just the comic relief and like kind of a dick.
Well, Men in Black, the series kind of needs the partner aspect. It's a buddy movie.
He could have a arc where he becomes, where he like, at the end, he starts becoming less of a jackass, you know, and he like starts.
Like, I mean, that's sort of what happens.
That is sort of what happens, but I guess I needed it more from her perspective. And it sounds like they might have cut out the scenes that made this make more sense.
Maybe, yeah. The other thing I was going to point out is once, you know, we get her story, like once we get flash forward, she tracks down an alien, she tracks down Men in Black and gets recruited.
Yeah.
We're cutting to Chris Hemsworth doing a couple of different things. We have no idea where he is, what he's doing.
Right.
Like, it cuts to him, first of all, making like a drug bust and getting bit by a snake and then fucking an alien.
Right.
And then it cuts to him walking into this typewriter shop, I guess, to teleport to the Men in Black headquarters. It's just, it's, and then like walking in a meeting that he's supposedly late to.
Right. And why did we need any of that?
I don't know. It was weird. Like, it was like, it felt, because we didn't have any sense of where he was in relation to anything. It was very strange.
And this is probably when I started nodding off. I think my brain was just like, I don't understand this. I'm going away. I'm going to sleep. It was, man. And also that shit she has with the alien at the beginning, I was like, that was some sweaty shit.
Oh, well, you knew that was going to come back.
Yeah. Oh, I knew it was going to come back. And that was the problem. It was like, I knew it was going to come back the moment it happened. And then it happened in such a ridiculous coincidence.
It was very strange.
Yeah. That was just like, this is, man, why did they come to this island? Like, it's more likely that they cut things out, but there are parts where it feels like they were just trying to make 90 minutes. Like, that whole deviation where the beard steals the magic beard. Rock, and then and then they go to that castle that's his ex, and it doesn't really matter.
I don't know if we get like a cool action sequence out of it. Like, yeah, I wonder if the rocks and then two different fight scenes.
Yeah, but I mean narratively, like, it was like, I don't know.
It was just an excuse for an action sequence.
Yeah, I wonder if they cut out a romantic thing between them two when they realized unearned.
I don't think so.
Okay, because that's the only thing I can think of.
I never got the sense that was there.
No, neither did I. But like, I was trying to think of why would they bring him to that ex's house? Like, what was the point? I don't know.
It's a character they introduced early on, like just talking about her.
Right.
So it's like, well, we're going to see her eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was just, you know, end of act two action sequence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know why they thought, like, I know why they did it. It's clunky as shit. Like, nothing kind of naturally fits together.
No, not really. It's, why do the bad guys appear in Marrakesh? Like, the aliens land in Marrakesh, even though the weapon is in London. With this alien, and it's ostensibly they go to this secret lab where these race of tiny aliens are building things. That's one where the little Kumail guys. He's one of them.
This looks like a butt plug.
Yeah, looks like a little butt plug.
Yeah.
They come and ask them to kill this guy for him, the fungus or whatever. Who's the guy that Chris Hemsworth gets tasked with babysitting? And they say no. But then it cuts to them. They show up in London. The two evil aliens show up in London to kill this fungus guy with a weapon that they apparently did get from these people in Marrakesh. Because Chris Hemsworth smells the poison and he's like, oh, I know what this is. If too much of it, it'll kill you just the right amount. And you're just going to get really high and have an awesome time.
They did kill those people. So they are still bad guys.
Huh?
The bad guys, the red herring bad guys, are still bad guys. Yeah, they kill people.
Yeah, yeah. They're still kind of bad guys, but I mean, it's because they're trying to save their planet from the hive, and they want this gun that's basically a star. You just shoot star power at people.
That man, that ending with that gun, I was kind of disturbed by that because the gun is basically a Death Star. Like,
it is.
Yeah, it's they show that they put it on like the 0.1% and they blow a giant hole in the desert, which that was silly. Like, that was, the physics of that did not make sense, but whatever.
Fine. We needed to understand how powerful it was.
Yeah. But then at the very end, they basically open the portal and they're fighting the hive, and she puts it to the maximum setting and fires it through the portal, presumably where the hive live. And they say that it can blow up entire galaxies. And so all I thought was, she just genocided so many things.
Well, like, they tell us that the sector has been completely conquered by the hive.
Okay. I guess I don't know the hive well enough. Like, they just show them once. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of like these monsters, but it's like, Yeah, this one's mean, but like it's like taking the Death Star. It's like if Luke took over the Death Star and used it to wipe out Vader's planet, which I guess is his planet too. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, that doesn't make you bet. Like, that doesn't make you good.
Well, no, it's like, more like, because the Hive, what they explain to us about the Hive is that they're the Borg.
Right.
So it's more like using a gun to blow up, like, the Borg cube.
Right, but there's a Star Trek Next Generation episode where they can infiltrate and give a virus to the Borg, Tom, and they learn that Borgs have a chance. They meet Hugh, which is like the first Borg that has his own identity. And the question is whether or not to give Hugh a virus and return him back to the Borg, wipe out all the Borg or not. And they decide morally it's still genocide no matter what. Like, just because we label them as mindless or insects doesn't mean we have a right to. Like, that's, I guess that's what I mean, is like she committed a genocide at the end. And like, yeah sure, they're like, you can call them a virus, but I only see one of those aliens, and they're not like they, I haven't spent like five films learning how bad they are. It was just like Liam Neeson turns into this alien, and then she just annihilates their solar system.
Yeah,
and
does.
It was like, Jesus, am I supposed to like this? Like, it was like, that is brutal.
It was pretty devastating. Yeah.
Like, that shook me. I was like, she didn't really just do that, did she? Like,
oh, she
I thought
did.
She was going to blow up maybe the portal itself or something, but no.
Like, nope, she sent that right to that international highway, that interstellar highway.
Billions of lives she killed.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, at least. Like, that's our hero. She killed so many. And they clearly have consciousness. They are able to imitate Liam Neeson successfully. So that means they must have some understanding of, like they're not a virus. They're like, they're a thing that can talk and like have complex thoughts and emotions, you know? So
yeah,
and she murdered them all.
I guess. I mean, we see the extent of their complex thoughts are, let's get everything out of the way so that we can murder everything.
Sure. But we don't, I mean, that's what we're told.
Yeah.
Like, all we see,
well,
all we see
says,
is the snarling Liam Neeson bug. Like, well, but what we, all we know is, like, he could be the Hitler of his race. Like, he could be, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't necessarily represent his entire race. Like, that's a big, she wiped out an entire galaxy based on her experience with a single life form from that galaxy. Like,
well,
imagine, yeah. I know, I'm just saying, like imagine if like aliens met Max Landis and they judged us based off that.
Oh, we would be doomed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if aliens met 95% of the people on the planet, we'd all be doomed.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Maybe we should be
a very small amount of people, yeah. Who they'd be like, oh, let's not blow this planet up.
Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, it ends with like a hand waved massacre, hand waved genocide.
Yep.
Yeah, it was weird. It's a weird movie.
You know, it's a movie.
Yeah, they should have brought back Rip Torn. I don't care how that would have ended up.
I don't care how dangerous he is. Bring him back.
Well, Rip Torn grunting his way. Yeah. What a dumb decision.
Just in there screaming.
Fucking Rip Torn.
God damn Rip Torn.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, it looked all right, I guess. What do you, in terms of effects?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. It felt a little mid-2000s because it's kind of cartoony, but it wasn't like they... Like,
but
they're
that's
going
the Men in Black look,
yeah, exactly.
Though, yeah.
They're
yeah,
going
that's
for
how it.
It
looks.
Men in Black has always been for older kids, you know? It's PG-13, yeah. So it's supposed to be grisly, but still aimed at kids, or at least young adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It had a budget of $110 million.
Why did they do this?
It is not moving the needle at all right now, as of this recording.
I guess, if you're gonna... If you're gonna spend $100 million to reboot Men in Black, you'd think some producer would be like, "We better have a damn good script. Like, we better have like it be a fucking like we better get like a really funny writer or someone that's like, you know, like just get someone who knows what they're doing." Because they definitely got the cast, you know? They got a good director. It's the director of The Negotiator. So, nailed it.
Gary Gray.
Yeah. No, seriously, he's a good director. So, it's like, they have the talent there, but it felt like the script was... And I maybe... Who knows? Maybe the writer is a good writer, you know? I don't want to... Like, the more I've looked into movies over the years, the more I realize that it's hard to pin the blame on... You know, one person, unless it's Max Landis who wrote it, then we know.
Then we know, yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really hit coming down hard on him.
So, yeah, well.
That's fine. It's not undeserved.
Yes, so he's earned it. But it felt like if they're spending that much money for a franchise that there's really no one, you know, lusting over. Like, no one's like itching and waiting for the next Men in Black. They got to do something with it. And like, this felt very straightforward. It felt like any other Men in Black. Like, this could have been Men in Black 2. It could have been Men in Black 3. Like, it was like a fairly straightforward plot.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess that's why I keep asking, like, why did this exist? Because it's not like we said at the beginning of this, it's not a bad movie.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a very bland summer movie.
Yeah. Fine is just not what they need right now if they're going to bring back this franchise, you know?
No, yeah.
So I don't know, man.
Dude, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what's real anymore. Yeah.
Again, getting Camille was a good idea, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like there could have been more wacky alien cameos.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, it feels like the alien stuff. Like, remember, like, first of all, where's David Cross? I think they even got him in the third. Did they get him in the third one? They had him in the first.
I haven't seen him in the third one. Okay. I haven't seen the third one.
Third one's better. Me. Third one's better. It's because
that
they have.
Was just so bad, man.
They what?
I said that second one was just so bad, man. I didn't see the third one.
Oh, really? See, I guess I've liked all of them except for this one because they've all been just batshit. And, like, I don't... As long as it's Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, like, they were so charismatic together that I didn't care what kind of crappy bullshit they were in. Third one was time travel, which when you think... That's the thing, is Men in Black has always been, like, some of the worst sci-fi. But they at least try to be sci-fi in the sense that they'll try to be mind-blowing, you know?
Yeah.
They'll be like, what if we're all a marble? And it's like, that's dumb, but at least you tried. And even the third one has that where it's like, oh, it's time travel. And inevitably there's like a time loop in it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're doing it. You're doing sci-fi and you're not afraid to do crazy shit, you know? Like, the time travel in Men in Black 3 was he has to jump off of a building to do the time travel. And as he's falling, you can see, like, time changing. Like, the history, like, things being built or things being demolished and stuff. Like, they did cool shit. It's still a garbage movie. But they went for it. There was something, there was, like, an event to it. It was grand. It was epic in a weird way. They try to be bigger. Yeah, and this one was just there wasn't much sci-fi element to it.
Well, I don't know that. It just, it plays it pretty safe.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's very safe. But, like, I guess, I mean, in the sense that there's no, like... I don't know.
I mean, there's doppelgangers.
Yeah, but that's...
There's an interplanetary gateway from the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Right.
I mean, like I said, it's safe.
Pretty safe. I don't know.
It's not science fiction. It's just very... But like, it's not very challenging.
Like in Men in Black 3... In Men in Black 3, there's a character that can see, like, every possibility at once. Like, and then there's, like, that weird... Like, the bad guy that has, like, weird, like, spider crawly hands. And, like... the lady in the second one is like a weird mutant slug inside a hot lady's body that comes onto a ship that comes on as like a little worm. And like the first one, it's a bug that's like inside a man's body that's constantly like loose. And like, I guess that's what I mean is like, there's like just some really outrageous shit in these movies that this one, like you said, it's safe.
I'm agreeing with you. Safe. It's just, this one is very safe.
Yeah, it really bothers me though. because they didn't, they shouldn't have gone safe. They should have gone crazy.
Yeah, there should have been like one truly crazy aspect of this.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been nice.
They needed something because they
some kind of hook because it would, like, we can at least remember what the crazy shit was from the other Men in Black movies.
Because I think
like this one is just very straightforward. Shoot a big laser to kill all the bad guys.
Because I think
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you're right that this is a fine movie, but I think it actually doesn't hold up to the standards of the other movies in terms of how over the top they got.
No, it doesn't, for sure.
And like for better or for worse, like they were all very big swings. And yeah, I think they were scared or something, but they weren't too scared. They weren't scared enough not to spend $100 million. Apparently, that's
well. That's I don't know. They spent $110 million on the Men in Black name recognition.
Right. Yeah, I think they could have done way better with half of that money. Like if they just wrote it weird enough, you know.
Yeah.
If they got the right comedians, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Camille Nanjiani was good, but they needed more of that shit.
Yeah, we need a little bit more of that.
Stick a fucking dick nose on Seth Rogen, bam.
Yeah, give him just a big old dick hanging from his face.
You got yourself an alien.
Balls bouncing off his lips every time he speaks.
Which sounds like a joke, but Men in Black 2, there is an alien with balls on his chin. Do you recall that, Tom?
I don't, because I watched that movie once 20 years ago.
Do you recall the Balchinian?
I don't recall the Balchinian.
Yep, that is an alien in Men in Black 2. He punches him in the balls, which is his chin.
That's fair.
Yeah. Was this, speaking of that, the first and second Men in Blacks, at least, they kind of swore during them.
Yeah.
Did they swear during this?
Only a little.
Yeah. It's not that necessary, but I definitely felt like it was almost a little less adult. Although
a little, I mean, there's Chris Hemsworth bones a lot of aliens.
That's true. And good for him.
And the bad guys just straight up melt a dude.
Yeah, well, there's definitely violence. There's definitely some scary shit. Those bad guys looked great. Like their weird ghost look. Yeah.
They look like
Ghostbusters. They look like something in Ghostbusters. They were like colorful and kind of like they were like the Matrix twins. Like they
yeah
yeah. But they had no personality. They didn't even talk.
No, they were just bad guys.
Yeah, they could have given them personalities. They could have had could have been like Johnny Knoxville in the second one. Remember that?
Oh yeah,
Tom, do you remember Johnny Knoxville?
I remember Johnny Knoxville knocks somebody out and walks off screen, and then we never see him again.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I remember he just walks right out of the movie.
Right, but like the Johnny Knoxville has a little version of himself, and they talk back and forth. Like the twins, you could have gotten like a comedian to play the twins, or like or Johnny Knoxville again. I don't give a shit. Or Bam, they could get Bam.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good investment.
Just a jackass. Yeah, just get another jackass. But you know what I mean. Like the twins were neat looking, but they didn't say anything. They didn't do, like, they had no personality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're gonna make it silly, you might as well make everything silly. Or at least unique. Because like Vincent D'Onofrio he's kind of frightening in the first one, but he's still funny. He's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't really get Vincent D'Onofrio back.
You could.
That was a good get.
Get him to come back and do his Magnificent Seven voice.
That would be amazing.
Oh, thank God.
That's good stuff.
Oh my God. Every decision that man has made is perfect.
Yeah, everything he does, he's a beautiful man. He's a saint. He could be an alien. They did that thing where they did the looking at possible aliens. They should have had Vincent D'Onofrio up there. That would have been a good nod to the original.
Fuck it, who cares?
What was the Thor joke? Everybody's talking about there was a Thor joke. Did I sleep during that?
It's when he picks up the hammer.
Oh, yeah, he picks up a hammer.
He picks up a hammer and the triumphant music plays and he just throws it at the guy and the guy just catches it.
Oh, yeah, okay. That wasn't the worst. Yeah. Who are the aliens? It was, I saw Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, Elon Musk, and Ariana Grande, I think.
Okay. What a weird decision. What a weird choice. You know they must have debated Trump. And they were like, let's not put him in this.
Yeah, let's not involve him. We don't want to get anywhere near that.
Yeah. That's a weird, like Elon Musk, I get that sort of. Donald Glover, that's a weird one.
That was a weird one, yeah.
Like in the original, they did like wacky celebrities.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, Donald Glover's fine. Why are you saying he's an alien? Are you saying he's too good for this world? Like I guess that makes sense. And they say something like, I always knew, or something like that. Yeah. And it was like, that's fucking weird.
Really? You were sitting there thinking, this guy's got to be an alien.
Yeah. Like, what an odd choice.
That was a strange one.
It must have been an inside joke or something. Like, he must be a friend of the director or something.
Maybe. Elon Musk made sense, though. Who but an alien would completely torpedo his own business on Twitter?
Yeah, right? Who would build what was promised to be the subway in this movie, the super subway, and it turns out to just be an underground bus?
Yep.
What an asshole.
Wide enough for a single car to drive down.
Way to go,
on
man.
Wheels, on rubber tires.
Way to make an underground bus. You jackass.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
Go back to your home planet.
Yeah, with Max Landis.
Yeah.
Gotta get him out of here a third time.
You know he's listening.
He's not listening.
He might.
No, he's not. He's not listening. Shit. What else? What'd you think of the Doctor Sleep trailer? Is this going to Hypecast?
No, let's save that for Hypecast.
Fine. Fine.
Yeah, man, I got nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think.
It was. Yeah. I mean, like, it's. I'm not gonna. I can't be mad at anybody for liking this movie. I just don't. I was just fucking nodding off. I was just so tired of this movie, and I think it might have been just where I was in the day. You know, like I had gotten up, I had been doing stuff all day. So maybe it was just like my brain is like, I don't need this shit. Because it was like, it's a perfectly fine movie that doesn't, it's not challenging in any way.
No.
And so my brain was like, this would be a good time for you to get some sleep, you know? Like, I don't know why you're sitting and watching this. It's nice and dark in this, and you're in a comfy chair. Just get some sleep, man.
Your brain's very convincing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it made the most sense. Like, if I wasn't watching this for a podcast, I would have just nodded off. I would have let myself fall asleep. Because
that's fair.
Yeah. This is definitely a good napping movie. If you need, like, if it's
a solid movie to just put on.
Yeah, if it's too hot where you are and you need somewhere to go and get some sleep, I definitely recommend this.
Consider Men in Black International. Yeah.
Although it is only 90 minutes, so that's actually...
Yeah, well, you get some trailers in there.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll be all right. I have nothing else to say about this movie. Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
It's
if you're
fine.
A big fan
it's
of the fine. Other Men in Blacks, like, if you watched all three and you were like, this is beautiful, this is perfect, well, obviously you're going to see this, but I think you might be disappointed. But... see it. If you only watched the first one, you got like to the second one, you're like, this is crap. You're not gonna like this. This is just more of, I don't know.
Yeah. It's less bad than two.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Two, at least,
it's
two kept my attention. I like the joke with the driver, with the blow up driver that would pop up.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. I like that joke. They're all in a locker. Remember how they were all in a locker at the end? What the fuck does that mean?
Because they, I don't know. They already stop you there.
They already established that we were all in a marble, and then the second one, they're like, "No, we're in a locker." Like, what does that mean?
Maybe our marble is inside the locker.
Hmm.
Did you ever think about that?
No, that doesn't make sense. Because
marbles can go inside lockers.
No, okay. Well, here's the thing. Hold on, Tom. The first movie, it zooms out to show that we're all in a marble.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, he kicks open a door to show that they're in a locker. So mm-hmm. the locker must be interdimensional. Right?
I guess.
That's the only way it could make sense. Because we know that when we zoom out, it's a marble.
Mm-hmm.
But when they kick open, it's a locker. Like, there's a access to a locker. Well, to a gym. We're all in a gym.
We're in a gym. There we go.
But also in a marble. Yeah, those. Okay. Yeah. So the second one is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's dog shit.
Yeah.
So it's got Tony Shalhoub. We're arguing about this.
I mean, we're not. I'm just. It's just I like the second one more than this one because I paid attention to the second one. If that makes sense, like that kept my attention. I mean, not by being good. It has Peter Graves in it.
Yeah.
Peter Graves, isn't it? It felt like more of an event, and that's only because they were making a sequel to a very successful film at the time. This one, it felt like whoever they could kind of get to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no, like, big cameos or anything. Again, no Rip Torn. I mean, they got him out of the third one.
They need to,
I think they killed him off.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. I think
really
that's what happened.
We really need to get Rip Torn in everything possible.
Mm-hmm. Just being Rip Torn. Yeah, why not? He should be in the next Spider-Man.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Have him be Uncle Ben.
Yeah, Uncle Ben's ghost.
Crawling back from the grave.
Yeah. I like this idea. I'm for it. See, I don't know. You don't have any final thoughts?
No.
Have you watched I Am Mother yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should check that out. It's really good. We should have been talking about that.
We could have been, but we're talking about Men in Black International.
Yeah.
So
I think people get the gist. If people are listening to this to know whether or not they want to see this movie, like...
You got it.
Yeah. It's not going to hurt you.
You know what the deal is. You guys know the score.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think that's a sewed.
I think that's a sewed.
I don't think we need to say anything else. We covered this.
We definitely covered it. Tom.
Yeah.
Did you hear about our Patreon?
I did.
Yeah. It's patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. There's mm-hmm. there's all sorts of exclusive podcasts, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. They're both delightful shows.
They're both very good shows. I am in both of them.
Yep, you are. It's true.
You can check out our store. We got a store at tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where we got shirts and posters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Check all that out. And if you're listening to this on iTunes or wherever you're listening to it, go ahead and leave us a review if you haven't already.
Yeah. But only good ones.
Do that. Only good ones. If you got a bad one, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
If you're Max Landis and you listen to this, just don't review it.
Yeah.